Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Song Gang Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. Very quickly, before we jump into things with our guests, some show notes. If you are looking for wrestling this week, tonight, WCWO running in Indianapolis, Indiana, as usual. PWA in Cheshire, Connecticut. APW in Royston, Georgia. Freelance Wrestling in Chicago, Illinois. GCW in Manville, New Jersey. And Super Kicked Wrestling in Toronto, Ontario. Tomorrow night, GSW in Moosic, Pennsylvania, OWR in Mobile, Alabama, EWF in Rialto, California, PPW in Milford, Delaware, New Era Wrestling in Golden, Colorado, AIWF in Jasper, Georgia, SFCW in Monroe, Georgia, NOW in Corbin, Kentucky, KZW in Somerset, Kentucky, IWI in St. Paul, Minnesota, MOW in Barberton, Ohio, and UEW tomorrow night in Eastridge, Tennessee. Without further ado, I would like to introduce our guest. We are proud to have him on this show. He is the former ring announcer for World Championship Wrestling on TBS, Mr. Rhubarb Jones. Mr. Jones, welcome to our show.
Well, let me tell you something, pal. No, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sitting in my Mr. Wrestling number two now and then. I got to tell you guys, it's really an honor to be on the air with you. And the thing is you guys keeping this form of entertainment alive, because I was listening to you about, you know, towns that they turn out for wrestling. They turn out for it. They support it. You know, and I got to tell you, I had some great years on with WCW and made some wonderful friends that will live forever in my heart. You know, last year was a bad year. A guy who used to come to my house when I did my radio show for Eagle 106 in Atlanta, and Dusty Rhodes always came to my house for the morning show and took part of it, and I miss him so bad. He was just one of my all-time favorite people, not just in wrestling, but as a human being. He was a great, great human being.
Absolutely. Dusty Rhodes, very much missed in the wrestling community. Well, our first question for you is going to be...
I don't think we'll ever see anybody like him in our lifetimes. He did it, you know, he was a son of a plumber out in Texas. He was an incredible athlete. He played football. He played baseball. The radio station played some country music stars in a charity softball game, and Dusty played center field and never missed a ball. He was fast for a man his size. He was incredible on his feet. And, you know, he's just one of those people that he loved his family. He loved his fans. Oh, my goodness, did he ever love his fans. And Dusty saw no color. He saw no nationality. He loved everybody. And I got to tell you now, and I'll just sit back and I'll think about him, and it warms my heart to know what a great human being he was and how I was blessed enough to have known him and his family.
Very well said. Our first question for you is going to be one we ask people when they're on our show for the first time. How did you get into the professional wrestling business?
Well, I was on the air in Atlanta starting in 1985, and I always loved WTBS, the Superstation, their Saturday afternoon lineup of wrestling, and watched it, you know, every Saturday afternoon. I think I was living in Montgomery, Alabama then. And I came up here, and there was a guy named Joe Pedicino who was with a group, and I did commentary with him for, I don't know, a couple of years, and got the offer from WCW to step up to TBS, and Mr. Pedicino was on a one of the independent TV stations in Atlanta, and he's a great guy, wonderful person, gave me a lot of opportunity. We had great memories of Paulie Dangerously and Wrestling 2 and some of those guys who went on to WWE and to WCW. And I had the time of my life. It wasn't about money. It was about having fun and being part of something that I've been a fan of since the days of Freddie Blassie and Gorgeous George, even, as a little boy, And appreciate what you guys are doing to keep this this thing alive, because there needs to be more of this.
I appreciate that. Now, when you got to TBS and you were ring announcing there, Jim Ross always plugged how you were Atlanta's top-rated DJ and would plug that for you on TBS. Once that started happening.
And I want to tell you something. I love Jim Ross. I got to tell you, he was so kind to me. And I learned a lot from watching him. And I kind of really, he had a passion, or still has a passion, for wrestling. And him and Golden Sully are the best of the best, period. It's over. It's them. And I just, Jim is just an incredible guy. And Tony Schiavone, a great guy who is now the sports director of WSV Radio in Atlanta, the top radio station in Atlanta. And Tony is doing great. And his son, Chris, is a traffic reporter for WSV Radio. And he used to live in my neighborhood. When I lived in Marietta, I live out in Tallapoosa, Georgia, out on the state line in the town I grew up in. And this was a place that on Sunday evenings when wrestling was on TV, you could walk down the street and you could hear wrestling on everybody's TV set, But I've just got nothing but fond memories and great memories of things. I remember my 40th birthday, a fellow gave me one of Ric Flair's wrestling boots that is mounted on a big plaque, big giant plaque. And I've had offers of thousands of dollars for it. And I don't know if I could part with it or not, I've got it up there with my Joe DiMaggio signed New York Yankees jersey.
That's some good memorabilia right there.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. And an autographed picture of Mickey Mantle, an autographed picture of Hank Aaron, an autographed picture of Wyatt Hill, who played football for the New York Giants. My all-time favorite professional athlete was Johnny Unitas. Well, him and Mickey Mantle were my favorite. But I've got autographed balls and pictures of both Mickey Mantle and Johnny Unitas, who quarterbacked the Baltimore Colts, who was First time I ever saw a professional football game, I was a little boy, maybe in the first grade, second grade. What they call the greatest game ever played between the New York Giants and the Baltimore Colts in Yankee Stadium. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Now in the wrestling business, being a ring announcer, you have to kind of be the face of the company and keep the crowd's interest and make sure they're aware of what's going on. But sometimes
when you're taping a wrestling show, you keep them warmed up. And when you're doing a live event, you keep them warmed up. You keep them excited. You keep them as part of the as a show. And, you know, it's all about the fans. At the end of the day, any sport, regardless, it is all about the fans. And I was lucky that WCW had some fabulous fans. I was also the public address announcer for the Atlanta Falcons for 7 seasons. And I enjoyed that. But wrestling is like you see immediately the excitement. You know, if a guy scores a touchdown in football, yeah, you get that there. But touchdowns are few and far between. First downs don't happen every series of downs. But I got to tell you, wrestling is a wonderful thing and something that families can do, you know. And I'm just glad I was part of it when it was more about winners and good guys versus bad guys and championship belts and not so much about the storyline.
The Southern fans are often a little more vocal, and to this day they seem to get into the action more than fans in other areas.
Southern fans are off the chain, and I say that because I grew up in my hometown of Tallapoosa, Georgia, and they would have Sunday afternoon wrestling at the fairgrounds in Carrollton, Georgia. And it would be packed. Southern fans have got a real passion for wrestling. And it's always been that way since the beginning. Listen, the thing about wrestling, and a lot of people don't know, and I'm also an adjunct professor of media studies at Kennesaw State University. Televisions, in its infancy, they sold not because of baseball, not because of football, wrestling. And that's a fact, and you can research that if you'd like.
Absolutely. Gorgeous George responsible for selling a lot of television.
Oh, my God. Zenith, RCA, all these, the big Sylvania, the big TV manufacturers of the day can thank wrestling, professional wrestling, for making, I don't know, professional wrestling made television a big, big medium before football and baseball and basketball, you know, got on the air.
Was there ever any scary instances from the fans when they got a little bit too excited in the action?
Sometimes, and it was rare, sometimes in the Omni in Atlanta, which was the precursor of Phillips Arena, on Sunday night shows, they would throw things. And it was nothing, you know, like bottles and, you know, things like that. But those people were immediately escorted out of the ring. But no, I never was frightened. What got me out was when I was doing a TV taping. No, we were doing a live show in Atlanta at the Omni in probably, I don't know, early 90s. And Jake the Snake Roberts came out with a bag of snakes. And I'm introducing him. And he dumped the snakes out at my feet. And a solid white albino cobra raised up and like was within feet of striking distance. Well, I knew they had all been fixed, but it's still scary. And I remember jumping square out of the center of the ring to over the turnbuckle and getting out of the ring. And fans went nuts over it. And, you know, I think that was back when Jake was wrestling, was fighting a lot of demons in his personal life. But I'll never forget that night. And, it's exciting. Some of the matches I remember is between Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, people like Ricky Steamboat and Sting. It was a very, very positive chapter in my life, and I enjoyed it very much.
What did you think of Sting joining WWE last year at that point in his career?
You know what? He still, still got it. Still has it. I ran into him at a Western Wear store in Cobb County, Georgia a few years ago. And he's just one of the nicest people that I know. And he's just a great guy. And, he connected with the fans. And I think Vince McMahon, his whole thing is he knows the fans, they're everything in wrestling. And, I can see why it went.
Well, we have a game we like to play on the show called Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you knew in your career, and the first few words that pop into your head to describe them, that would be the answer. Are you willing to play around?
Sure.
All right. First name, Teddy Long.
A natural. A fine fella. Great as a referee. Better as what he aspired to. Theodore R. Long was great. I love it.
How about Lex Luger?
Oh, God bless him. I saw him less than a year ago in a restaurant. A fighter, he never gives up. Never gives up. He's had some physical problems, but he's working through them, and he's just a only thing, he never quits.
Bob Cook.
Well, I just read Bob's Facebook stuff, and he very opinionated. Opinionated is about right, yeah. He's got a point of view, and you ain't going to win an argument with him.
Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, man. Love that guy. When he was on the varsity, me and him used to talk about scuba diving off the Cayman Islands. He's loves the outdoors and just a peach of a guy.
Brian Pillman.
Solid. I could spend an hour on him. Love him. Love his dad. I adore his father. Nick, just a 1,000% professional.
Barry Windham.
A fan favorite.
Jim Herd.
Could be extremely exciting sometimes.
Jimmy Garvin.
Underrated.
Magnum T.A.
He's another fan favorite.
Vader.
scary. Oh, my God, scary. You know, it was like when I introduced him from the Rocky Mountain, Vader, and he could be frightened. What you saw in the dressing room was the same thing we're going to see in the ring.
The last one, Ron Simmons.
Great guy. You know, that's all I want to say, great guy, and came prepared, came ready.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know he has some questions, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
All right, sure.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Mr. Jones.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Not bad. Mr. Jones,
yes, sir.
One of your first jobs in radio was at WPID in Piedmont, Alabama.
Yes,
have
sir,
you
it
gone...
was.
Oh, okay. Have you gone back and visited this station?
Well, no, but they've come and visited me. Terrence Gladden, who gave me my first job 45 years ago, came out to see me in 2015, and he was a big Patsy Cline fan, and I had a framed signed contract that Patsy Cline did for a record contract, and I gave it to him. And, you know, that was a whole – I had such a good time giving him that. And WPID was a wonderful place because I used to listen to him when I was in high school. I live over in Georgia, about 30 miles from Piedmont. I used to listen to him all the time, and it was great that I got to start my radio career right there.
Wow, fantastic. Very nice start. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Jones, you have the nickname Rhubarb. My wrestling sources in Montgomery, Alabama, tell me that you got the name because you pointed out to the referee in a local match that the supposedly babyface wrestler in this match had a foreign object in his trunks, and it turned out to be a piece of rhubarb in the shape of brass knuckles.
That'd be a great story. I need to use that. Instead of the more boring one that when I was in the sixth grade, I started a fight with a ninth grader about a drum cadence. I played drum, and we started an argument, and the band director came in and said, "What is this rhubarb about?" Rhubarb was a name that Red Barber, who was the voice of Brooklyn Dodgers, used, who grew up in Tallahassee, Florida. He used the term rhubarb as a fight. Fighting a baseball game was a rhubarb, and they tell me I was an argumentative little cuss. But I think your story is better.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm slightly disappointed that it was not that you did point out that a wrestler had a piece of rhubarb down his trunks that was dipped in liquid nitrogen.
You know, I'm not sure what that was, or if that was celery spray painted red. We don't know what it was. But Montgomery was a great radio town. I mean, a great town for wrestling. It is a great radio city, too. But Asheville, North Carolina, when I did radio there, on Sunday afternoons they would have wrestling. And if Wahoo McDaniel was going to be there, the place would be packed.
Wow. Okay. Wow, well, we certainly do need packed houses here in the Northwest, I tell you. Okay.
Now, where are you at? Where are you guys at?
Well, Sangai is from the Seattle area, and I'm just south in Tacoma.
Well, let me tell you something. The cleanest states, I think, in America are Oregon and Washington State. They're pristine, and nice people and good people, and I got a good friend who lives in Paulia. Is that it? Outside of Seattle. Paulia.
Oh. Yes.
Oh God. Yeah. Not too far from Kingsland. I don't know. All I know is the greatest Costco in the world. They tell me is up that way. So.
Well, yeah, I'd say it's pristine. Maybe not on Burnside in Portland, though.
No, I'm telling you, man, that Mount Hood and the Columbia River, and, oh, my gosh, I mean, you got Mount Rainier where you guys live, and, you know, the Pacific Northwest is, that's a place I got to go back to on my bucket list.
Well, now, the wrestling greats Playboy Buddy Rose and Roddy Piper got their career starts in the Northwest. Did
God
he have a chance to meet Playboy Buddy Rose?
You know, Roddy Piper was, he was in a league of his own. He was a guy that, you know, he wasn't the biggest guy in the ring or whatever, but he got it done. You know, and you know, growing up in the Southeast like I did, and remember Live Atlanta Wrestling with Ed Caprell, and remember the days of Gordon Solie, who might be really and truly, I don't know, the greatest of them all, period. Jim Ross, I think, is one of the all-time greats. But, you know, I don't know. The thing about wrestling is it is something that is growing. It's not dying. You know, so many entertainment venues, it's hurting to get fans. The Atlanta Braves are moving to Cobb County, Georgia, to, I think, essentially to attract more fans to the ballpark.
Oh, wow.
Since the zip codes north of Atlanta draw most of the fans. And,
wow,
so
I didn't know that.
You know,
okay.
But you know, the thing about I was hearing you guys give the you know, where the venues that are going to be going on. You had a lot in the Southeast, places like Monroe, Georgia. And, you know, wrestling fans in the South, they've got a passion for it. They love it.
Yes, they do. Yes. Yeah, they're pretty rabid. Yes.
Oh, pretty much.
Yes. Well, Rhubarb, you host the Rhubarb Jones Celebrity Golf Tournament for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Are you yourself a golfer? And can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your handicap is?
Well, I got to tell you, we had to end the tournament just a few years ago, a couple of years back, because I was no longer on Atlanta radio. I'm now on Great Classics 98.9, which is a license to my hometown with studios in Carrollton, Georgia. But they built me a studio here in my house in Tallapoosa, and you know, I had, you know, all these great stars of country music that came every year, like Charlie Daniels, the band Alabama. God, we could go on and on and on. Brooks and Dunn, Montgomery Gentry. We had a very successful run. My golf score, I'm telling you, I wish my SAT scores were the same as my golf scores, because I would have done better. I'm telling you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, have you had Tiger Woods show up at your event?
No, he hadn't showed up yet. Not because we didn't invite him. Of course we invited him. I want him to come back because I might could beat him now.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Has Adam Sandler and Bob Barker showed up at your event?
No, because Bob Barker would want me to go spay and neuter some cats.
What? Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Wow. Well, Rhubarb, there is a wrestler in the Georgia area that has started a rumor that you shoot so many golf balls into various water hazards, and specifically at the course that regularly hosts the Rhubarb Jones Celebrity Golf Tournament, that you have your own submersible mini submarine named the USS Rhubarb.
That's pretty, I go fishing with hip waders and a fly rod. I'm not very good with the water, and I got to tell you that they're pretty close to it. But we, you know what? Over the years, we had. I think Dusty played my tournament a few times. Yeah, we had. I love that guy, and I miss him so much. And it just shows you, people, that life is precious. Life is short. It's finite. It doesn't last forever. Dusty, he lived only about 3 miles from me for many years. And him and Michelle and his family were just, they were great. They're just great. And I know they miss him, and I miss him. And Dusty was one of those guys, and when I'd call him about a charity event, whether it be my golf tournament, a charity softball game, or whatever, he'd just be there. He'd just show up.
Wow.
Virgil Reynolds was one of my favorite
people. And he never missed a fly ball in the outfield, huh?
No, he didn't. No, no. For a guy his size, he was extremely agile, extremely athletic, and he just didn't let the ball get past him.
Wow.
But,
all right. Huh.
You know, there's some great memories of Dusty.
Oh, all right. All right, Will, Mr. Jones, I'm going to mark in my question book that you do not have a submersible sub to chase your water ball.
No, I need to get one. I probably do. Now, I just got a golf cart 2 months ago that is a Ford Mustang Super Snake Cobra golf cart.
Ooh.
That's pretty
awesome. Wow.
So I live in a town where you can drive a golf cart on city streets as long as you have, you know, lights, blinkers, horn, seat belts, et cetera, et cetera. And,
wow. How is that for picking up women?
I'm yet to find out. The Harley I'd had for 16 years wasn't working, so maybe this will work.
Oh, okay. Wow, all right, okay.
I had a Harley Road King, 16 years, with a sidecar that I'm probably going to post on Facebook, Rhubarb Jones on Facebook, and I may post that later on and then show the golf cart. But I got to tell you, you know, I live in a town of 3,200 people, a great mayor, great police department, great city services, and just love being here. And ladies, there ain't no lady in my life. So anyway, auditions for wife number, whatever number it is, can be made at rhubarbjones@aol.com.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I need to go to Eastern Washington to Spokane or somewhere.
Yes.
Or somewhere, I don't know, Kingsland or whatever, I don't know.
It's a wine country over in Eastern Washington, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wine country.
It's kind of weird how it's like desert, you know, across the Cascades, and in the, you know, where you guys live, it's rain, you know, all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty
soggy
here. But it's
green and clean, and people love the environment, and they, you know, you don't hear about trouble in Washington or Oregon, or even Northern California, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, but you guys live in a great place, and I know that's got to be a great market for wrestling over there.
Well, we do have several wrestling organizations out there that both Shine Guy and I frequent, yes.
Well, you guys do a great job, I want you to know. And I want you to know that I'm honored to have had this opportunity.
Oh, well, the honor's all on this side of the table, yes. Well, Rhubarb, Alabama lead singer Randy Owen sang at your first wedding. Wrestling legend Abdullah the Butcher, who now owns a restaurant called Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food.
Great.
He's claimed that Randy Owens attempted to shove several of the bridesmaids out of the way in a failed attempt to catch the bride's floral bouquet at your first wedding.
I'm not sure. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about a doula. I love him. I saw him in the Iron Sheik in the Atlanta airport a few years back. Sheik was, Iron Sheik, great guy. But Abdullah, I don't know if you know this or not, but he has a magnificent singing voice. He has beautiful, beautiful tenor singing voice and is a sweetheart. And I saw him one time when he was going over to wrestle in Korea. And we were in the Crown Room for Delta Airlines at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. And he was in there and with his pastor because, you know, he was going to fly a long way. And it was great sitting with him. And a few minutes later, a guy that I've known for, my gosh, 46 years coming up this far, Lionel Richie came in. I met Lionel Richie when I was a student body president at Southern Union State Junior College in Wylie, Alabama. And I had to hire the band for the fall dance. And we hired a band called The Reflections. And that band, a few years later, became the Commodores. So, Abdullah and Lionel Richie were there together. That was nice.
Wow, that'd be something to have Abdullah the Butcher sing with Lionel Richie.
Oh, let me tell you something. Abdullah could sing. He was a crooner. He was like a Nat King Cole. He was like a Sinatra guy. He could sing, and he just did intonation, everything great. Now, his restaurant is covered up.
Because
it's barbecue and Chinese food. And, you know, but, and he shows up and he's just, I love it. You know, he's great. The last time I saw him was just a few years ago. Him and Tommy Wildfire Rich did a match in Conyers, Georgia. And it was great.
Wow. Well, you know, Abdullah the Butcher reminds me of Simon Vincent DeJude. Did you ever see the movie Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder?
Sure. That's right. We bet. Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, Simon Vincent DeJude played the part of the big inmate, Grossberger.
Yeah.
Grossberger, who had Gene Wilder pinned against the bunk. He kind of reminds me of Abdullah the Butcher.
Abdullah was a fan favorite. And, you know, when he was a heel, people got it. When he would be a babyface, people got it. And what a tremendous human being. A very godly man, too, by the way.
Oh, wow. Cool. That's good. Okay. Well, we had a Northwest wrestler, Diafula Dabashi, go out to Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food and attack him. Yes,
hey,
a Tacoma wrestler.
Let me tell you, I'd be attacking him if he didn't give so much food to you. When you go to his restaurant, you ain't going to go away hungry unless you want to.
Oh, well, I think Sign Guy can attest to that. Sign Guy made a visit to Abdullah the Butcher's restaurant. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, I think his place is on Camelton Road in Atlanta. And, you know, the restaurant is kind of like, this is the kind of food that Abdullah loves. He likes Asian cuisine. He loves rib, you know. And he does quite a bit.
Oh, well, who doesn't like ribs and Chinese food?
Oh, shoot, man.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I called my local Chinese restaurant. Well, actually, it's Thai and Chinese restaurant called Size Magic Wok and ordered some shrimp fried rice. Now, guys, Friday night, single guy, yeah, you can eat whatever you want, you know. you got no wife, you got no girlfriend, say, don't eat that, you know. So anyway, life goes on and move forward, and I may go buy some ribs, some Corky's ribs. I think I've got some in the freezer, and may just heat them up in honor of Abdullah.
Wow, nice. All right, if you do that, can you contact us on Facebook and tell us how they turned out?
Oh, absolutely. And you guys can contact me, RhubarbJones@AOL.com or RhubarbJones on Facebook. And I try to get to everybody who ever contacts me. I'm just honored that you people wanted me to be on this program, and I'm just honored to do it. And, you know, I have no secrets in life. You know, if you got no secrets, you don't have to lie about nothing. That's something I tell my daughters. And I have no secrets at all. I mean, and I want to write a book. I want to write a book, and I want to put a chapter or two in there about the time I was with WCW, the time with Tony Schiavone and all those people who were just terrific to me. I mean, Gordon Solie was in a league of his own. I think Gordon Solie was to wrestling what Vince Scully is to baseball.
Wow, I think we could all agree that's an accurate assessment. Yes.
That's pretty high praise, so, you know.
Yes. Well, Mr. Jones, you had a part or a cameo appearance in the baseball movie called Major League that was released on April 17th, 1998. Corbin Burnson played Roger Dorn, and Bob Bucher played Harry Doyle. Is it true that you challenged Bob Bucher to a home run hitting contest?
Listen, Bob Bucher is a treasure. I mean, Bob Bucher was one of the, you know, he used to be on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson because he's hysterical. Now, I did another baseball movie called Trouble with the Curve that was produced and directed and starred by Clint Eastwood. And the part was to be an announcer from Asheville, North Carolina. Well, in late 75 to mid 78, I was an announcer in Asheville, North Carolina. I did the audition after reading one line. I passed the audition, so... But, you know, I love the game of baseball. Remember the Titans? I had a role in that. I just love sports. You know, I think anything to take your mind to a positive level, something you can root for, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, golf, or wrestling, I do like it all.
Oh, well, how about track and field?
Well, yeah, I'll watch that. I love to watch old newsreels of Jesse Owens, which I want to see that movie that he's in. You know, Jesse Owens was a kid that grew up in North Alabama who got in Adolf Hitler's face and beat his people. You know, so... so much for superiority there.
No, yes, Hitler was pretty disappointed in that 100-yard dash, yes.
Pretty bad. And anybody who compares Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler, you're crazy. You're nuts. You know, come on, people. Good God. Sorry about that.
I think Donald Trump is to politics what Buddy Rose was to wrestling. Yes.
That'll work. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Jones, Major League had a production budget of a reported $46 million, yet it failed to do so well at the box office, earning only $3.5 million.
No, I didn't see much of that anyway.
Are there any truth to the rumors that Bob Bucher has said that the movie's failure was partly due to because you were a ham and tried to steal the spotlight by overacting.
I take full responsibility, if that's what it takes. Whatever he says,
yes.
Bob, you know, whatever it takes. I remember when Bob Uecker played for the Atlanta Braves when I was in high school, and Bob Uecker was the only catcher that the Braves had. The main catcher was Joe Torre, but he couldn't catch the knuckleball from Phil Niekro, who was a dear friend. And we used to call Phil Niekro, because he couldn't catch that knuckleball from Joe Torre, and Uecker had to catch it, we used to call Joe Torre Chicken Catcher Torre. Oh, but anyway, but Joe Torre became a good friend when I came to Atlanta, and a great guy. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He really is. But Uecker, what I loved about Uecker is his sense of humor.
Yes.
Incredible sense of humor.
Wow. Well, Mr. Jones, it was great speaking with you. I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy at this point.
Okay.
All right. Please contact us on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Facebook page. Yes.
Well, listen, you guys keep doing what you do, because it's a service to fans, and more people need to know about this show.
Yes. Okay. Well, all right, back to you,
Sergei.
Yes.
Thank you, QT. Mr. Jones,
right.
when you got to WCW, it was a fairly new company. Ted Turner had just bought it fairly recently. What was it like working for a company that was part of a conglomerate like that, that was more or less a brand new entity?
Let me address that. Let me tell you my sincere thought. Ted Turner was a genius. He came, he got the superstation, WTBS. I think it was called WTCG. He went, he took it, he developed it, he showed reruns, and he bought the Atlanta Braves for programming. And he bought WCW for programming. And I consider him an incredible media genius. Now, Mr. Turner is somebody that where I'm kind of 180 degrees from him politically, I do believe that he is a genius when it comes to ideas. Everybody thought he was insane for buying the Braves. Everybody thought he was insane for starting CNN. When he got CNN headline news, we could go on and on and on and on. But he is a risk taker. And one thing that I have learned over the years, the greater the risk, the greater the reward. Ted Turner doesn't lose money. He ultimately makes money. And he was worth $2 billion, I don't know, 25 years ago.
Well, we have just a few minutes left, so I want to give plenty of time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you want, your social medias, website, any appearances.
I think the thing is social media is important. I think what you guys are doing is important, because you're doing this for the fans. Fans, you need to support this thing. You need to get behind these guys, because they're giving you a treat that a lot of areas in the country don't get. And the thing is, it's headquartered in your part of the world. So I say support these fellas, get behind them, get the word out, put a link on your Facebook page or whatever to these guys, and realize this whole thing is about you. And I'm just honored to be asked to be here. I hope I'm asked to come back. But you guys do a great job and a tremendous service to wrestling fans. And they're global. wrestling fans are all over the world.
Well, Mr. Jones, it was our pleasure to have you on the show again. We would love to have you back here. Thanks very
Anytime.
Much.
Anytime. I'm honored to do it. I'm honored to do it. And, you know, I was tutored by some great people in the industry. The guy who, Hulk Hogan has been in the news the last few days, quite a bit. The guy who used to work with him in setting up the rings in some of the small venues was talking about Terry and how much he loved Terry. And Hulk Hogan became a megastar in the industry. And, you know, people, it's this is a great, great, great thing, a great source of entertainment. It's a family situation. And there could be some kid out there right now who is listening who could be the next megastar in the world of wrestling. You know, so Hulk Hogan, you know, don't get too much higher than that, you know.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Jones, thanks again for being with us. We enjoyed having you.
Honored
Definitely
to be
we'll
here,
have you.
And thank you for the opportunity. I really do. And you guys can email me, rhubarbjones@aol.com.
Absolutely. And the website, rhubarbjones.com, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, so fans, go over, check out the website. We'll definitely have him back in the future. And we
you
will be back.
I'm honored to do it anytime.
Absolutely. We will definitely have you back. So fans, get out there, support your local wrestling. Find yourself a show, go support it. We'll be back Sunday afternoon with Paul Cerberus. So join us on Sunday. We'll talk to you then.
All righty. Y'all take care and God bless you.